For which we are just so thankful to have a home, you know, that's ours. Praise God. But it came through prayer. Thank you for sharing that, John. And it's a good look at it. You know, there's an altar of incense in the temple, which represents the altar of incense in the Holy of Holies where God is in heaven. And those, our prayers are literally offered, put on that altar of incense, and those odors, God breathes them in. And when he exhales, they fill these golden censers and the angels take them, and it says they hurl them back into the earth with God's assignment on it. Angels are released to dispatch and take those things and start reworking them. You just opened up a door for me, John, so yes. Count it all joy. That's just a wonderful thing. Thank you, John. Well, we're finishing up our December, our November series. I wrote December here by accident. I finally made an accident. But we're wrapping it up called, it's the series is Confident Expectation of Good Hope, and we're on part five. Now, we talked about the image of hope, the image that forms inside of us of hope, that hope forms inside of us. Hope is a compass that really starts to reorganize our thoughts and dictating our decision-making process, the hope of God. We talked about the eyes of hope last week. And on November 8th, we did a special, and it was shortly after the election. And this morning, we're going to talk about words of hope. You know, right now, we need to speak words of hope more than at any other time. We have, we've seen an election, well, it's not, it wasn't an election, it was a hijacking. Period. We know that. The whole world knows it. The whole population of the United States knows it. And they're just going as if it is a reality, and it's not. And there are many people in this country, patriots, who love our freedom, who love the Constitution that guarantees us those freedoms. They are getting depressed. And a lot of those people aren't Christians. They don't believe what we believe, but they are patriots. And they enjoy the freedoms of this country that the Constitution guarantees, and they're seeing a regime come in. And I'm going to use this pulpit to say the truth. I'm joining with men like John Hagee, men like Andrew Womack, men like Kenneth Copeland, who are using this pulpit to declare the truth, just like the Black Robe Regiment did just before the Revolutionary War. It was preachers who organized this country, who unified this country at its deepest level of spirituality, who organized us in a way that only 8% of the population of this country, which were farmers, businessmen, 8% beat the greatest army in the entire earth, the British Army. You tell me that's not a miracle and that God didn't found this country? So I am joining with them. And if this pulpit is used for that, to unite us, to pray for our president, to pray that justice prevail, I'm going to do it. Amen. If God founded this country, it means something to him. You say, well, are you using your pulpit for politics? No. Look what politics have done to this nation. We're using it for truth. Amen?
Yeah.
Okay. There. But we need to speak words of hope.
Yes.
More now than ever before. Otherwise, we're looking at open borders. Let them all come in, you know. We're looking at legislation that would triple your taxes. And they would tell you how you can care for your family rather than you leave that up to you. Small businesses, everything, which are the backbone of industry in this country, backbone of the economy, will be sold out to China or Russia or whoever wants to bid the highest to politicians. So when businesses become nationalized by a government, say, you didn't build that. You don't own that. That's property of the state. You get to work there and give us 70% of whatever you make. That's, we are looking down the barrel of a loaded gun with a maniac on the trigger end.
Yeah.
But maniacs don't last. But those who declare the truth, those who do the will of God will abide forever. The Bible says in 1 John. Are we going to do the will of God? Are we going to pray? Are we going to receive from the Lord instructions? And are we going to obey those instructions, even when it's not popular? Even when you're going to face ridicule? Even when you're going to be persecuted for it? We got to do it. But all that said, we're looking at a whole lot of people who have a whole lot of hopelessness working on the inside of them, trying to subvert their thoughts, trying to cripple their emotions and forming attitudes that are no good, that will prosper nobody or anything. Negativity, negativity, negativity. We've got to start speaking words of hope. You know, the Bible says we can have what we say. Bible says that you have what you say. You are today the sum of everything you said about yourself in the past. Those seeds have come to fruition. And if you don't like your situation now, you can always change your words and get a whole new crop. And 5 years from now, you're going to look back and say, "Woo! Thank God for the word." The Bible says you can have what you say. But too many Christians are saying what they have, what they see, what's going on, and they're joining in with the narrative of it, and there's no power in that. There's only subjection to it. You have the word of God living on the inside of you. You can dictate it. You can dictate God's will in this earth as it is in heaven through the very words that you speak. If you can't say amen, say oh me, because it's true. So lots to be hoped for. Lots to be hoped for. Lots of good things, of potential things, are just right under the surface. The devil tries to do everything he can to beat the word of God out of our lives, and he can't do it. I mean, he should have known this. I mean, it's been 2,000 years. I mean, come on. Isn't that the definition of insanity? I mean, he put persecution on the church right from the very beginning, and all it did was spread the gospel. Because the gospel is alive. It's not some theory. It's not some concept that we somehow know. It's a living organism that the body of Christ is, that moves in the earth, multiplying and multiplying and multiplying itself. It's a good thing. But if you believe in God, you'll be established. If you believe the prophets, you will prosper. We need to hook in with these words. That Kat Kerr at the very beginning with the pink hair. Now, I don't know if you've read any of her books, but she's been to heaven and back a number of times. Jeremiah Johnson is a tremendously deep, powerful prophet of God. And these people are all getting the same word. I'm telling you something, and it's coming to light now, that President Trump won by a landslide. But there are those who would like to take that vote away from you, convert it through relay systems in the computer system, and turn it around. And they don't care about you. They don't care about your vote. They just care about the power that the White House will give them to not govern but rule. We need to understand this, that this is a loaded gun pointed right at us. Yeah, we've got backup. We've got backup. Turn with me, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 10, and just say this. There's lots to be hopeful for. We have a God of light who exposes the darkness. That God is on our side. He's on the side of good. He's on the side of freedom. He's on the side of my personal liberties to live the life that he created me to live. Amen. Well, anytime you need some hope, you can just come and get some right here. It's right here. If you need some hope, come get some. It's right there. God is so full of it. He's full of hope. Well, full of it. Full of everything you need. Let's put it that way. It is a big word. Remember Mary told the servants, Whatever he says, do it. Well, you got to be precise about these things. So anytime you need some hope, you could just come to the Word and get some. Open the Word. Get a full helping, just like you did on Thanksgiving. Get a full helping. And so let's declare this together. Oops. This Word is God speaking to me. This Word is God's life being imparted to me. This Word is God's incorruptible seed being planted in me. This Word is God's authority being delegated to me. This Word is God's blessing overtaking me. This Word is God's ability empowering me. This Word is God's counsel guiding me. This Word is God's power of salvation to me. This Word is God accomplishing in me that which pleases Him. This Word is God speaking to me. We got another short clip here for you. That's a great movie. How many of you saw that movie? It's a, you know, tell me that God doesn't go into prisons and go into the hearts of men who have been in prison. I'm telling you something, outside of prison, humanity is in a huger and more secluded prison than that. It's the prison of the mind. It's the prison that they've built in and of themselves. But hope is a good thing, maybe the best of things, and no good thing ever dies. And when Andy wrote that letter and buried it under that tree, he said, I hope this letter finds you and finds you well, your friend Andy. Well, Jesus has written a letter to us, and he hopes for us. He is the hope that lives inside of us. And he's got something powerful to give you this morning. In Hebrews chapter 10, let's go there. It says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised, is that right? Oh yeah, that is faithful. Verse 23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope. Now, in the original, that word, our hope, that's italicized. That means it was added at the whim of the translators. It says, let us hold fast the confession of hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Your confession of hope is really your declaration and acknowledgement of God's faithfulness. Has God been faithful to you? I mean, you may be in a ditch right now, but you've been in ditches before, and God has gotten you through that, hasn't he? How about it? Has he been faithful to you? Can you look back over your life and see, yeah, you know, without him, it wouldn't be very good right now. So hope's confession is really the incubator that transforms wishing into true biblical hope. And when I mean true biblical hope, the Bible type of hope is the hope that knows. Just like you know the sun is coming up tomorrow, it knows. Where the world type of hope is wishing. It's if so, hope so. Maybe it'll happen, so what? You know, they're not banking on it. There's nothing solid about it. But the hope of God, we know what's going to happen. We know we win. Come whatever. If they persecute us, if they kill us, they can't stop us. Amen? They killed Jesus. Did that stop him? It won't stop you either, especially when you realize that the new birth, the recreation of your human spirit is something that cannot ever be nullified. It's powerful stuff. Hope's confession is the incubator that transforms wishing into a real living hope that lives inside of you. When we speak words of hope, words that challenge the validity of negative situations, our imagination, our inner vision begins to process wishes into real hope. And that provides the stage for faith to act. Hope speaks. I'm sorry. Hope sees. You got to see hope. You got to have that that image in your imagination. You've got to have that image that the Word of God creates in you. And hope sees. Faith speaks. What does faith speak? The Word. Faith speaks what hope sees. Hey, I want to comment on this too. These poinsettias were Manny and Pilar, who are not with us this morning, but Manny and Pilar donated all of these poinsettias to the church, and I just think they're so beautiful. Make sure we keep those watered. They're worth it. But we need to speak words of hope. Stop having the world dictate to you what it's depression, it's hopelessness, it's pointlessness, it's lack of vitality. Stop doing it. You stand up and start talking to it. You start talking to the media. Laura and I, and we don't watch the news anymore. I mean, even Fox News, I mean, they've gone way left. I mean, they caved in and they've betrayed probably, 90 million people? They're even trying to subvert you. Subvert. And so we don't listen to it anymore. But even when they had some liberal on there that they were interviewing, I would just have to speak up and refute it. And just, I'm not going to let words go in here unchallenged by the truth that lives in here. It's not going to happen. I'm challenging it. Words spoken over children, challenge it. Don't let it go unchallenged. Words that are spoken about you, don't let them go unchallenged. They don't belong to you, and the root system of that whole thing will not reproduce in you. You've got to challenge it. You've got to speak up against it. And get 5 times the harvest, 30, 60, or 100-fold the harvest that those words of hate and bitterness and inferiority and everything give to you. Those things don't belong to you. You are who God says you are, despite of what you see or feel or hear. Liable to get lit. God wouldn't tell us to hold fast the confession of hope if it wasn't important, if there's something he didn't want to live in you. If there isn't a dream that he put in your heart that he doesn't want to bring to fulfillment. Look at verse 35. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great recompense of reward, it says in the King James. This has great reward. For you have need of endurance or patience or consistency, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. What is the will of God? Don't cast away your confidence. How do you keep your confidence alive? Keep speaking hope. Keep speaking it, speaking it, speaking it. Keep speaking words of faith about you, your family, your job, your employer. Keep on, it doesn't matter if he's wrong or not. You have the authority inside of you to dictate God's will in that company, in your family. Your kids may come home after getting in all kinds of trouble. You need to discipline them. But you also need to tell them the truth. Say, look, you did that because you thought this. Where do we need to correct it? That thought process, that system that's been subverted inside of you. They have need of endurance, of hope. Hope gives you endurance. And this word endurance here has been translated patience. It's been translated consistency. Being the same regardless of what the situation is trying to dictate to you. Words of hope are powerful. You need to speak words of hope. Say that. My words are filled with hope. Always. So keep on saying that again and again throughout the day. My words are filled with hope. You can catch yourself speaking negative words that way. See, when you speak something, you're no longer an observer. You're a participant. The confession of hope. There. The confession of hope. That's saying words of hope. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. That word great, by the way, in the Greek is mega. Mega. You know, we see those, we go in a grocery store, and you go down that paper aisle, and you see the toilet paper, and it's mega. And this word mega doesn't mean it's bigger. It means it's biggest. It's biggest. It's the biggest. The biggest reward. And the King James says recompense of reward because that's exactly what the word says. It's a Greek word. Where did I write that down? It's misthapodosia. It's a compound Greek word. It says all kinds. But it means recompense or a reimbursement of an expense that you've spent, like an employer sends a sales force out and then they use their credit cards and expenses and dinners that they took clients to or whatever. And then the company reimburses them all of their expenses. You know, if you go to any expenditure to lead somebody to Christ, whether they receive it or not, you're just planting seeds. You've done something for the Lord that he honors. He will recompense you. Great recompense of reward. And it means it's a reimbursement of an expense owed. And it is the total acquittal of anything else that's owed by the company who reimburses you. In other words, once you've been paid back, it's in full. You know, there's honor and there's fellowship in that. When you have been reimbursed every cent that you've ever paid on a business trip, there's nothing left to be done. Is there? It's full. I like that. The hope that comes from God and his love is a confident expectation of good. Hope imagines, it dreams, it envisions. Hope sees the inner images of what the word has inspired in you. You know, did you ever see yourself when you first got born again and you started reading the scriptures, did you ever see yourself and imagine yourself doing the things that Jesus did? Did you? I did. I tried to command trees to come up from the root. I wanted that to happen. But anyhow, you need to be developed in faith. You need to be developed in maturity and so forth because it's all in a balance of how much you are able to walk in love. Because faith works by love, the Bible says in Galatians 5:6. So hope imagines, it dreams, it envisions. Hope sees the inner vision, the inner images, and the dreams of aspiration that flashes into our spirit, vision which is in our imagination. You have an imagination for a reason. God put it there. And I'm going to get to do a series on the image of God and the imaginations of God. Because if you can't see it, what your imagination is there for you to see what God has promised. See it in here, because if you don't see it in here, it's not going to happen. But if you can see it and you can speak it, you can have it. Period. If you can see it and you can speak it, you can have it. Say, what are you saying? I didn't say it. Jesus did. Amen. What things soever you desire, when praying, believe you receive them and you shall have them. Believe you should take it. Faith takes. And the verse before that, he said, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith, shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he says. That is the law of faith. Jesus got that out of the Old Testament, by the way. I don't have time to go there today. Faith speaks what hope sees. If you say this, if I can see it,
down here,
And I can speak it,
with this.
I can have it.
Can have it.
Jesus said so.
Jesus said so.
And Jesus rose from the dead, so that means everything he said is true.
Amen.
Go with me to Matthew chapter 12. Thank you for that, Phil, by the way. Phil added a verse here that I needed. Jesus looked at the Pharisees after they, you know what? They just didn't quit. They weren't there to listen to Jesus. You know, it's amazing. Everybody who, sinners, drunkards, prostitutes, tax collectors, the despised of the whole culture, they loved to be around Jesus. They absolutely were fascinated by him. They loved him because he didn't talk down to them. He didn't talk inferiority to them. He didn't judge them. They felt an acceptance with God with him. He loved them.
Amen.
He didn't judge them and make them feel, oh, you type of thing. Like, ooh, get away. No, he embraced them. Now, he didn't partake of their sin. And he did speak the truth, but he spoke the truth in love. And they felt accepted. They felt the warmth of a God who loved them through Jesus. But you notice the religious leaders? They weren't there because they wanted to be. They were there to monitor him. They were there to audit him so they could find fault with him and accuse him and expose him as a fraud. Why? Because he came to clean the swamp. And that was a pretty corrupt one, too. They had a business thing going that was just unbelievable. I mean, that was a bird's nest on the ground for them. And they were cheating the people. They were lying to the people for their own expense. Some things just don't change. But Jesus said this. You brood of vipers, that's who he's talking to here, the religious leaders. How can you, being evil, speak good things? You can stop right there. We could do a series on that. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth does what? The mouth speaks. A good man, and he's talking to them. Now he's turning around. Jesus never did not love the Pharisees or the Sadducees at this point. He said, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. Underline brings forth in verse 35, and underline it again, evil treasure brings forth. We are in the process of bringing forth what's ever in our heart.
Right.
He says, but I say unto you that every idle word men may speak, they will give an account in the day of judgment. This is not talking about our eternal salvation. You're just going to give an account for it. For by your words, you'll be justified, and by your words, you'll be condemned. Who's in charge here? Who gets to choose your words?
Me.
You. Is it God? No, you're ripping yourself off, because as you give an account, you're losing rewards one right after another because you're not speaking words of hope. I'm tying this all together. Let the scripture interpret itself. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings, how does he bring forth? What is in verse 35, he's talking about the treasure of the heart, whether it's good or evil. Then he's talking about words. What is the connection here? How we bring forth the treasure in our heart is done through what we say. Because out of the abundance of the heart, good or evil, productivity or vain, imagine it. It's all in the heart. It comes out of your mouth in the form of words. And words are seed that bear fruit after their own kind, according to the law of Genesis. Jesus called our words seed. Didn't he?
Yeah.
Mark chapter 4, the parable of the sower. And here's something to note, too. Our body was made out of the soil of the earth. Adam was created from the soil of the earth. Now, if you look at a cornfield or a wheat field or a barley or a bean field or anything, did that soil have any right to determine what crop it was going to reproduce or produce? No. It's soil. What determines the crop is the seed.
Right.
You can speak to your body, which is the soil, with the word of God, and you can speak to your soil, and it doesn't have a choice of whether it's going to be healed or not.
Amen.
It has a it was designed and created to reproduce the words that you speak to it. You have authority over your vessel. And you have a treasure in the earthen vessels to call light to shine into the darkness.
Yeah.
Oh, that's another series.
Thank you, Jesus.
Call light into the darkness. Or out from the darkness. Excuse me, Mr. Poinsettia. I didn't know you were in charge here. Praise God. Thank you for those poinsettias. They're beautiful. But here's another truth that you can take from this. Words live forever. You know, Jesus said, my words are spirit and life. Words are spirit. Spirit never dies. Spiritual things never die. They live eternally. Words never die. They'll be right there when you stand before Jesus and him looking you right in the eye and your words looking you right in the eye. And there you are. Words live forever. I thought that would make you feel real good. Because you're the one who can choose your words. And you're the one who can turn it around. Now, they may live forever, but if you change and change the words you speak, fill them with hope, change the words you speak and fill them with the word of God and faith, and love, and start speaking the way you were created to speak, you will not only enjoy this life, but you'll skate right into freedom, here's death. That's it. Isn't that a wonderful thing? That's death. I tried to do that once. And the microphone thing was all through the sleeve. But that's what death is. It's no more than that. You are already born again. You are already made accepted in the beloved. You are already in Christ. And nobody can take that away from you. Start speaking like it. Amen. Start speaking to your body what God says about your body. Start speaking to your mind. You know, David spoke to his soul. He said, bless the Lord, oh my soul. And he wasn't saying that, no, bless the Lord, oh my soul. No, he says, you obey the word of God. I meditate on you this day. Right in Psalm 1. Meditate on the word day and night. And then everything he does will prosper. You obey God. You think the thoughts that God wants you to think. You feel the way God says you feel. And he was speaking to his soul. He was taking authority over his soul. Even though he wasn't born again. Nobody was born again before Jesus rose from the dead. He didn't even have the right to call God his father. But he had a covenant with God. And not only do we have a covenant that's better than that, we are children of God, bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. It says in Ephesians 5 that we have undersold ourselves, we believed a lie, and we have not walked in the word of God. Repent of it. Change your words and get a whole new crop. And all the other stuff will be non-negotiable. Let's put it that way. Oh, God's good. It's rich. That's the connection between what's in our heart and our words. Look at this. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. That wasn't hard. Light be. So that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. You can't see words, can you? You can't see what words contain. But oh my, words do a lot. They can carry love, fellowship, acceptance, peace, kindness. Or they can carry offense and bitterness and hatred and every negative thing. Words have started wars. Words have established peace. Words have done damage, they have done good. Words, it depends what fills them. Your world is framed by your words. God's universe, whether it's the universe of heaven, which is the kingdom of heaven, or the universe of this physical universe, which is still expanding at the speed of light, but your personal, individual world, the world that you live in, your environment, is all framed by the words that you speak. Speak words of hope. Amen. If you have a choice, you might as well. I think that was one of our Monday meditations not too long ago. You know, as long as you're in the world, you might as well speak words of hope. Because they will grow up and become and reproduce after their own kind. And you'll be filled with hope. Have a stage set for faith to come in and take what God has already provided. Words live forever. They are eternal in nature. Words are the creative force of the universe, and the Bible says that words are the creative force of our individual lives. Say amen if you can. It's true. Hebrews 11:3, we just read it. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. The Word of God is so powerful, and it lives in you. If we truly believed and understood the power of words, you would never have to feel angry, frustrated, hateful, offended about anything. Because your words can turn the whole thing around. Your words can turn you around. And you know what? If your words are his words, then you know that he's going to correct it just like a compass. Yeah. And he's going to order your decisions. He's going to order your future because you're speaking blessing into your future instead of curses.
That's right.
How about it?
Yeah.
D agrees. He is the hope of glory, and that hope lives in you. Words live forever, and when we speak God's word into our situations will forever conform to his will and his word. Praise God. So choose your words wisely and live. Choose your words foolishly. Know well. You decide. One more scripture I think I'll go to, and then we'll close. Hebrews 6:18, that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie. Think about that. If God said 2 plus 2 is 5, the entire universe in heaven, the kingdom of heaven, and the kingdom of universe of earth would totally rearrange to accommodate that to make it true. Because he can't lie because everything he says comes to pass. I mean, that's probably a bad example. But that's what I'm trying to convey, that whenever he speaks, everything goes back to create what he speaks. In this world, when you speak, everything, as a child of God, everything lines up to produce what you speak. Angels are activated to bring to pass what you speak. The Holy Spirit starts acting on your behalf. He jumps all over the Word of God. And he starts to create what you speak. If you speak your words, the Holy Spirit isn't going to help you. He'll say, you know, that's not pleasing to the Father. And you're kind of working against yourself. Choose your words wisely. Wisdom comes from God. by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation. That's hope, by the way. Who have fled for refuge to lay hold on the hope set before us. For the law made nothing perfect. On the other hand, there is the bringing in of a better hope through which we draw near to God. If you feel a distance between you and God at this point, hope brings you close and near to God. It helps you draw near to God. When you draw near to, the Lord said something to me one morning. I was really tired, my muscles were hurting, and I drank a cup of coffee, and it was a blessing on all kinds of scriptures on this coffee cup. He says, I will give you rest. I said, Lord, I could use two bucketfuls of that right now. You know what he said? He said, you need to come to me. I said, what? I have come to you. Oh, he said, no, if you come to me, you need to leave something behind. I was carrying cares, weights, the way I was thinking, the way I was talking, the way I was believing. I was leaving God out of the equation, and I didn't even know it. I thought I was doing right. I thought I was doing good. And the Lord says, no, you need to, if you come to me, you need to leave something behind. You know, that is the definition of repentance.
Yeah.
That's a word you don't hear too much nowadays, is it? No, we hear a scrapping, everything's going to be all right. Extravagant grace. I'll tell you something. Grace won't do you any good until you have faith. Because it is by faith that we have access into this grace wherein we stand. You want things to work out nice in your life? Do the word.
Right.
And the word will make, that's how things will work out good in your life. Not just because God's good and he's graceful and you're his child. That's wonderful things. But it won't work out right for you until you become a doer of the word. Don't just come and audit it. Don't come to just hear it so that you can know something at the next party. No. Do it. That way, instead of trying to be impressive, you will just be impressive. Hope. 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 All you do legally or whatever makes nothing right, makes nothing perfect. But the words that you speak, when they're filled with hope, can provide you a future that you can't even dream of. But it'll help you see it and hear. And then when you speak it out of your mouth, when you see it and you can speak it, you can have it. It's the law of faith. That brings you from observing to participating. Jesus said, the kingdom of God doesn't come with observation, for the kingdom of God is in you. You need to participate with God, cooperate with God, and let him work his word will through you and work his word through you. Start speaking to your body, speaking to your situation, speaking about your employer, your school, your teachers. Start speaking about them the way Jesus would. You'd be surprised at the result. Favor, grace, peace.